we talked a lot about this morning about 9/11, and what else would you talk about on the 10th anniversary, where our nation, as the preacher put it very, very well, was attacked by cowards, viciously, with no thought for life. And I remember that day, and when I remember that day, you can't, at least with me, I can't help to have it stir my heart towards what I would recall as probably one of the darkest days in my 41 years of living that America has ever had. I don't like to think about it in the way that it was a terrible, terrible tragedy, but it was sure great to see America pull together the day after. But a question I'd come to my mind, though, is what stirs me? You got things that happen in your life that affect you, that you can't ever get away from. You can't ever erase. You can't take them away. They become part of you. They become part of who you are. They become part of what you do. And the question arose in my mind, what does it take to stir me? So I titled the message tonight, What Stirs You? And if you'll take your Bibles with me and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, we're all going to stand together. We're going to read one verse, and then I just want to make us think a little bit tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Let's all stand together and we'll read. There are Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We'll get back to this in a moment. But I want to tell you, Christian, there's things that stir your life. I just want to find out what they are. What is it? And I don't want you to answer me, of course. I want you to think. What is it that makes your mind stir? What is it that puts your thought in a process of movement? What is it? I've got some ideas, and I'll let you in on some things that stir my mind. And I'm going to let you in on some of the things that I think ought to stir ours. So let's just think a little bit tonight. Can we do that? Brother Bob, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, I pray you be with the ones that are sick, the Lord, be with Arlene, Brother Fred. You have a special way tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray you be with Brother Dave as he preaches the message that you gave. Lord, I pray you be empowered to preach. Lord, prepare our hearts for what you have for us, Lord. I ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Stirring is an action. It is something that we do. It is something that we partake in. And I think one of the greatest problems that a Christian can have is when they cease to stir, when they cease to have things pique their interest, when they cease to have things. And this, by the way, doesn't necessarily just come from Christians. This could come from anybody. If you're not constantly in movement, a constant thought process in your mind, if your thoughts become stagnant, if it becomes that you have stopped having things affect you, you become tolerant, you become to a point in your life where nothing really bothers you anymore, nothing really affects you anymore. Growing up as a kid, many things affected the people that were older than me, the adults. They got affected. You could tell it in things like the national anthem. You could tell it. There was a stirring in their heart when that old song would play, and the people would rise and they would put their hands over their hearts and remove their ball caps. A tear would come to their eyes as men would bellow out to the top of their lungs, "Oh, say, can you see?" Today, we live in a day and age where I can't even get the kids to take their hats off coming into a building, let alone take them off while they're playing of the national anthem. Children are no longer being taught, and it doesn't move their hearts anymore that things of that nature happen. Songs move my heart a lot. I think of songs like How Great Thou Art. I'm telling you, that is becoming one of my favorite songs. The older that I get, the more I realize how great He really is. We can get caught up in this world and the things that happen in this world and the things that are going on around us, but boy, it all comes back to, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. It's amazing what God has done for us, the things that He set out for us, the things that He's done around us, the lives that He's changed, the people that He's affected, the people that He's saved. I'm going to tell you, if your heart doesn't get moved when you hear a good old gospel song singing about that wonderful Savior, I worry. I watch us in the morning sometimes, and I look out at you, and I see some of the pruniest faces I've ever seen in my entire life. You wouldn't be blessed if we hit you over the head with it. If you think about what God has done for you, you say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Look, you don't know what I'm going through. But I do know this, God does know what you're going through, and that doesn't make it any less effective to your heart. Man, let God bless you a little bit. Open up your heart. Let God do something for you. Open up and let God see who you are. He knows who you are, but let Him see you. Get a tear in your eye. Get a movement in your heart. Get a stirring in there, and let Jesus know how wonderful He is. We spend so much time worrying about what we cannot control. Somebody say amen tonight. We can't control it. We cannot control what's going on around us. We cannot control some of the things that are happening. But boy, we can control right in here. And I watch some of us letting our lives pine away in worry instead of letting our hearts be stirred about the great things of God. A song can stir my heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If your heart doesn't stir, I worry. I worry because you're not going to remember how great God is. It stirred my heart to watch the kids waving flags today. It stirred my heart to watch these kids come and collect their flags and ask as they were going by, do we get to keep them? Amen. Glory to God, you got that kind of attitude. I'll go buy 1,000 of them. I want the kids to look at the flag and have their hearts stir. I want to do something to them when they see this flag. What's sad is older folks have ceased to teach the etiquette of the flag. They ceased to teach the fact that it ought never touch the ground. They ceased to teach the fact that there's times that it should be at half mast, times that it should be at full. They ceased to teach that it should come down every day and go up every day. What's sad is we've forgotten those things. Why? Because the flag has ceased to make a stir in our heart. And I'm going to challenge you tonight, Christian, with the stirring of your heart over some of these things, that you get stirred again, that you get excited again about the things that have made us great. Not only does the flag and what it stands for, freedom. Man, I can stand up here and yell and holler, and I don't have to worry about anybody coming to stop me. I can preach about Jesus Christ. I can tote my Bible wherever I want. I can still, hey, listen, I'll go into a public school and start yelling out Christ if they mess with me. You got to understand something. We can still do that in America. What the problem is, we've lost the stirring. And we're letting them take some of this from us because we've lost the stirring. We still live in a place that is free. I think about the sacrifice that has been paid for me to have this freedom. I think about the men and ladies that have given their lives. I think about the soldiers. We could never pay them back. We could never give enough back to them to provide for our freedom. I don't care if you signed up or got signed up, you're still a hero to me because you provided the greatest country in the whole wide world. I know God worked through you, but I sure am glad you showed up. I want to teach my kids that. I want their heart to stir when they meet a soldier. I'm not playing. I'm not saying these things. I mean this. When I see a soldier, my heart stirs. When I see an airman, my heart stirs. When I meet a Marine, my heart stirs. I don't care if you're in the National Guard, my heart stirs. Because you serve me, you help me, you're providing freedom for me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful I live in a country that has the greatest fighting force in the whole wide world, providing freedom for us preachers. It stirs my heart. I see things like injustice that stir my heart. 9-1-1, what a huge injustice. We took forever to decide to go get somebody. 6 months, I think it took us before we finally started to do something about it. And the signs that night said, let's go get them. If they would have asked the people for a vote, it would have been 100%er that night. Taking God out of the schools, that stirs my heart. It bothers me. It bothers me that we're okay with it. It bothers me that our hearts have ceased to stir. It bothers me that our hearts have ceased to be moved. It bothers me. Listen, I'm not telling you have to go down there and do something about it. Does it do something here? Does it do something here to realize that millions and millions and millions of babies are aborted every year? Does it do something here? Does it do something here realizing that your tax dollars are going to pay for it? Does it do something here? Does it do something here that immorality is running rampant through our public schools? Does it do something here? Does it do something here that your children are spending more time on their computers than they're spending in their Bible? Does it do something here? It does something here to me when the children have no more affinity for the things of God. They have affinity for the things of the world, and that does not stem from a stranger. Does it do something here? The missionaries can tell you, coming from across the world, what it's like to be in a country that's godless. Does it do something here? Does it stir your heart? Does it stir your heart? And I'm talking to the cream of the crop. The top 1% of the people in the world are sitting in this room right now. I believe that with all my heart. You know the truth. Does it stir your heart? Does it stir your heart over the injustices that are happening today? Does it stir your heart over those things enough to want to have a loud voice? I know people give me the bug eyes when I tell them I want to go down and put my arms around that flagpole when they want to take it down. That's an injustice to me. It stirs my heart. Why does it stir my heart? I know I'm not even from here. But they want to take down a landmark that means something. You can get mad at me and you can say that's not the right place to be. And I'm not doing this to get my name in the paper. I hope they never put it in the paper. But I'm telling you, if they tell me that thing don't pass inspection and they want to take it down, I'm going to be there and they're going to have to go over this preacher's body to get it done. Why? Because it stirs me right here that they're wanting to do something of that magnitude right in front of us. Does my heart stir? Did your heart stir when you looked on a television set and saw the American flag on fire? Does it stir your heart? Or do you believe you belong to a country that is so free that we're allowed to burn the very flag that speaks of the freedom? I promise you this, you burn it in front of me, you wish you hadn't. I'm not playing with you on that one either. It stirs my heart. It stirs my heart to know that everybody that fought for this flag and fought for the freedom that we take for granted, that freedom, if you're going to light that thing on fire, I'm going to light you on fire. Because that was provided for me. It stirs my heart. Let me ask you a question, though, Christian. I think those things ought to stir your heart. But there's some other things that ought to stir our hearts. Do the plight of the brethren around you stir your heart? When you find out that a Christian's in trouble, does it stir your heart? Does it stir your heart enough to want to do something? It's quiet. Does it stir your heart enough to want to lend a hand to somebody that's down? Does it stir your heart enough to want to put them on a prayer list, a personal prayer list, and take them before God and say, please do something, God? Hey, listen, from what it sounds like to me, the Lord is going to have to intervene for Arlene's wonderful brother. Does that stir your heart? See, what you got to understand is this. I'm in a room right now full of people that have a plight. I'm in a room right now of people that need something from God desperately. They need something from Him. I got a question for you. For months, I said, man, we ought to pray for each other. We ought to care about each other. We ought to love each other. Is the plight of the brethren something that stirs your heart? Or is it something that we forget about the minute we leave out of church? Does it stir your heart? Not just the brethren. Another thing I think we ought to be concerned with, does it stir your heart to look out and see the lost? See, you got to understand something. The longer I'm in the ministry, and I haven't been in it for miles and miles. I'm just a whippersnapper, I know that. But the further I get into the ministry, the more I look at people and see lost. The more I see crowds of people and I look out and say, I wonder how many of these people are saved. It bothers me. It stirs my heart. See, Christian, what I'm asking you is this. The reason that I'm bringing these things to your thought, and we'll get to the scripture here in 1 minute that he was talking about, you must understand something. If you're walking around as a Christian that doesn't have their heart stirred, you're a stagnant Christian. What bothers you? What makes you tick? What makes you think? What makes you wonder? What makes you pray? What makes you call on God? Those things are very important. You must understand, part of the Christian makeup should be, look at these people, they might be lost. But, Brother Coolidge, do I think enough and am I stirred enough to take a track and say, please, read this. It could save your eternal life. Are you stirred enough? Because, Christian, it's coming to a day where we better get stirring. We better get stirring. We better start stirring that pot, because I'm going to tell you, the water's getting stagnant, and we better realize that we've got a wonderful Savior to serve, and you got to ask yourself, does it stir your heart for the lost? Does it stir you? The fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Jesus Christ looked over the multitude and he had compassion on them. Why? Because his heart was stirred. He looks out at you and he sees a lost, a saved people that used to be lost. He looks out at you and says, I need to help them. He has compassion on you. He has a desire, a stirring in his heart. The Bible teaches us in Jude 22, and of some have compassion. See, some people need to have compassion from you. No, let's read that, all right? All right, let's do that. Jude 22, turn to that. I want you to see what the scripture says, not what we quote. A lot of folks quote that, and of some having compassion, making a difference. That's not what it says. Let's look and see what it says. Turn to Jude chapter 22. There's only one chapter. Just get to Jude and you find it. Jude 22 is right next to Jude 21. Look at what the Bible says. First of all, in verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Look at the next verse. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And look at read on what it's talking about here. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This is talking about looking at others and seeing that they need Christ. And of some have compassion. Some need your compassion. They need your heart to be stirred, Christian. We walk around with stoic faces and stoic lives, worried about paying our bills, more than we're worried about telling people about Christ, more than we're worried about helping people. I don't think Christ was interested in making a lot of money when he was here. Matter of fact, Christ kept his money in a fishy billfold. And he only spent it because he wanted to show the others not to break the law. Here he's got this wonderful opportunity. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. And he comes down and loves people and saves them, some with compassion, some with fear. Hey, listen, I'm afraid of hell. I was saved because I was afraid of hell. That's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I know everybody in here. I'm pretty sure everybody in here is saved, but I never like to take an opportunity like this and pass it by. Hey, listen, I got saved because I'm afraid there's a hell, and let me tell you something, hell is real. You say, I don't believe that. I've never seen it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change it. If you don't believe in Christ, you're going to go there and split hell wide open. They'll welcome you there. I'll guarantee you. Hell hath enlarged herself, not because nobody else is going there, but because a lot of other folks are going there. Why? Because we're not stirred. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Do people see your care? Do people see your heart stirred? There's a little fellow that's starting to ride the bus. He came to our vacation Bible school. Boy, he touched my heart. His name is Cesare, a little black fella. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what it is. I really don't. But the Lord has put that young man on my heart. And I don't know if God's going to do something with him. I don't know what it is, but I'm surely not going to be the one to stop it if he is. I went and picked up that young man. I watch kids. I really do, because it takes a lot to impress me nowadays. It really does. And I watch this kid take care of the little ones around him. He's like their daddy. He takes care of them, responsible. He even scolds them when they mess up. He doesn't have a foul word come out of his mouth. He doesn't act like a rebellious teenager. He's just a kid that has compassion for his family. I think the Lord's going to do something with him. The Lord's put him on my heart. Now, you need to hear this, Christian. You really do, because you ignore your heart. You ignore your heart. You listen to me now. You listen to me, because God's got a special plan for you to affect somebody's life. You're not here to be sitting in that pew tonight. I'm glad you're sitting. Don't stand up. But understand this. God didn't have you just come here to warm that pew. He had you come here to get your heart stirred. He had you come here because you can make a difference in somebody's life. And the Lord has put somebody in your life. The question is, have you noticed it? Have you seen it, my friend? Have you noticed that there's somebody in your life that you can help, and your heart can be stirred, and you can have compassion on them? Now, as that little young man, by the way, you can't get better than a bus route. I was so excited today. The Ravenna, it was awesome. Ravenna's been running probably about 30-ish, I guess. Don't quote me on the numbers. But it's taken them forever to get in, because the city, believe it or not, is bigger than you think. And going from one side of the city. So we split off. I wanted to start a new route. We got three buses. We need to have three routes. Somebody say amen. Amen. So I said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll take some of the south side off your back, and we'll go out that way, and I'll start heading out Summit Road. There's tons of homes out there. And I don't know what it is. I really don't. But the Lord has knit that young man and Bethel. Amen. I don't know what it is. He loves to come to church. Amen. Hey, listen. He was sitting out on the step this morning. Hey, no, that's impressive for a bus kid. You don't like rolling out of the rack. That kid preacher was sitting out on the step this morning like this. And when we pulled in, he goes. And he stood there and waited for the bus to turn around. And the whole time he was carrying his little brother. Now let me explain something to you. First of all, Bethel, thank you. Everybody. It's not one person. See, that's where people mess up in the past. It's the compassion of a church. And you're full of it. Don't separate the last two statements. Do you know what the kid saw? Seriously, you know what the kid saw? At VBS, he saw somebody care about him. Huh? He saw somebody care about him. Nothing stirs my heart like seeing a bus kid get their heart stirred. Nothing. Do you know why? Because a bus kid just got nothing to look forward to. Now, that kid didn't complain for 1 minute about anything in his life. You know what he did? He started praying for a bike. Now, if you remember, he won the bike. Anybody gets prayers answered like that, I want to know right away. Hey, Cesare, can you pray for something for me? He came to Bethel. He saw compassion. He saw caring. He saw love. He saw a preacher that cares about people. He saw people that care about other people. He saw a vacation Bible school that makes absolutely no sense to put on. He saw people that love and the love of Christ, and his heart was stirred, and he wanted to be part. I would to God, Bethel, you realize that you're part of it. Man, get your heart stirred. Get your heart excited about something. Get your heart in gear with Jesus Christ. He's got so many wonderful things for us to have. Let's get stirred about something. Hey, listen. We had somebody saved today in church. We had a person get lifted out of hellfire because of church today. Because of you. See, everybody's at fault. Yeah, there was a soul winner involved. Yeah, there was somebody that brought the kid. I understand that. But every one of you is at fault for that person getting saved. That should stir your heart. That should stir your heart. The plight of the brethren. The destination of the lost. Turn over to Psalm chapter 39. Psalm chapter 39, verse 1, the Bible said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, and this is what he said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Look at this now. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. You know, the older I get, Brother Mike, the more I'm thankful that God loves me. Brother Bob, he's got no business loving me. The thoughts that go through my mind, the actions that I do, he's got no business loving me. The opportunities that I missed that he's laid before me, he's got no business loving me. The time that I spend thinking about him and the time that he spends thinking about me, he's got no business loving me. He's got no business caring about somebody so frail as I. He's got no business caring about somebody, loving somebody that is so unworthy and so filthy and so dirty, and you are too. But he does. Now, if your heart doesn't get stirred, I'm telling you right now, when I was a kid, I was a drunkard that cavorted, traveled around doing the things I ought not do. And glory to God, he didn't look down and say, I can't use him. He looked down and said, I can use him. That should stir your heart from here on forever. While you're walking the face of this earth, if you know the Lord is your Savior, glory to God, he saved you not just today, forever he saved you, and there's nothing you can do to get out of it. Hey, you signed up, pal, you're going to heaven. That should stir your heart. It should stir your heart to realize, have it stir up inside of you. The fire should burn inside of you, realizing, I am frail. And yet he still loves me. See, the weaker you get, the stronger he becomes. Let him be strong. Let Christ do something with you. Why do we resist the wonderful, majestic, almighty God? I want you to return with me now. By the way, you hear about this burning inside. It takes me back to Cleopas in Luke chapter 24. When they were walking the road and Christ came to them. I preached a message. He took time for two. He'll take time for you. And if you remember that at all, where Jesus came down and talked with those men and expounded everything about himself from the scripture's front to the scripture's end. Christ walked that road, 7 and some odd miles, walked that road with them, expounding scripture unto them. And they said at the end of the walk, "Preacher, did our hearts not burn within us while we were by the way with him and while he revealed and opened the scriptures to us?" I tell you what else your heart ought to burn inside of you is when you get in this old book. That's another time when you ought to get stirred. You ought to get stirred when Jesus Christ speaks to you through this old word. You better get stirred. I'm going to tell you, the more I read it, the more it reads me. The more I read it, the more I realize how frail I am. The more, and let me tell you something, Christian, when you start coming to grips with the fact that you're but dust, when you start coming to the grips with the fact that you're but dirt, when you start coming to grips with the fact that you're frail, that you're weak, that you're unworthy, when you start coming to the grips with that fact, you realize how wonderful Jesus Christ is. You realize how great your Lord is. You realize how much he sacrificed for you and somebody that didn't deserve it. Glory to God, he's going to prepare a place for you. I don't know what matter with you. Your heart ought to be stirring inside to know that you got a Savior that loves you so much. I'll amen myself. Amen. I get to go to heaven. Good night. I get to go to heaven. Going back to 2 Peter. Verse 1 of chapter 3, we'll read again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He wants us to remember something. Verse 2 says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, look at this now, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Listen, I haven't been around that long. Honestly, 18 years, 41 years old. I haven't been around that long. But I can guarantee you, this man can go back. And I promise you, if you listen to the messages when he was a kid preacher, he talked about Jesus coming back. And I guarantee if you go back to when he was a kid preacher, he was saying the same exact thing. I cannot believe he hasn't come yet. As crazy as this old world's getting, I can't believe he hasn't come back yet. But what's amazing to me is it keeps getting worse. And I know they're scoffers, and they still are there. I hear them all the time. Where's the promise, preacher? I know that you keep saying it, but I'm not seeing him.
Someday we will.
That doesn't change the fact that he's coming. I want you to see this now. You want to stir up your heart a little bit. Watch this. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I guarantee you know what that means, because this preacher's preached that over and over. And I know this is talking about his coming back. I know that. But I've got to get through this part. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's telling us this to stir up your minds so that you can tell people, hey, listen, you better start to repent, because Jesus is coming. But the day of the Lord, look at this now. What does he want you to remember? What does he want you to stir up your life with? But the day of the Lord will come. And we could stop right there. The day of the Lord will come. I said the day of the Lord will come. Why do we open up the altar? Because the day of the Lord will come.
Yeah, right. That's a good thought.
Why do we stand on the Bible? because the day of the Lord will come.
Yes.
Why do we pass out tracts? Because the day of the Lord will come.
Yes.
Why do we tell bus kids about Jesus Christ? Because the day of the Lord will come.
Yes.
Why do we need to stir up our hearts, Brother Jack? Brother Jack, why do we need to stir up our hearts and stay in church and do right and get our lives straight? Why? Because the day of the Lord will come. It will come. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope so. It's not if God has the time. It's not if there's a couple of righteous. No, the day of the Lord is coming. There's going to be a day when the clouds, and he says, come up hither, and we are gone. Woohoo! They can have my car payment. They can have the house payment. I don't care what they've got. I'm gone. I don't have a payment where I'm going. It's already paid in full. And that stirs my heart. This ugly old fat boy is getting raptured out of here. And it stirs my heart to know that there's a place waiting for me. How great thou art. That song sings basically about the earth. Earth. Oh, it's pretty. It ain't heaven. Almost heaven, West Virginia. Well, that ain't true. It's pretty. No doubt, I've been there. But it ain't heaven. You don't see streets of gold there. You see streets of stone there. Christian, I worry. I worry because these verses tell us to stir up our minds remembering. Can you hear me tonight? Remembering. Remembering that your Savior's coming for you. He's coming. Man, it's a preacher's dying wish to be praising the Lord in the pulpit when he comes. You won't let us preach for more than 40 minutes without having a coup, so that's going to be difficult. Brother Coolidge, wouldn't it be great to be passing out a tract when he says, come up hither? Wouldn't it even be better to be sharing the tract with another person, telling them, he that hath the Son hath life? Wouldn't it be great, Jordan, if you were at somebody's house? I thought about this. I'm kooky. You're at somebody's house and you were leading them through the plan of salvation and they began to pray. They said amen and the rapture happened.
Wow.
On the way up, they'd be saying, man, I'm glad you came. I know that's funny. I know that's funny, but think about this for a minute. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Your heart should stir knowing he's coming. Jesus is coming. We don't know when. I'm glad I don't. Because now I can serve him full out. Why? Because my heart stirred knowing he's coming. He's coming. Everything we do, preacher, is about his coming. He's coming. There's going to be a day, oh my goodness, that he comes. What will we be doing? Our heart should be stirring, looking for him to come, loving his appearance. I preach this to you tonight because I've preached it to me first. My heart doesn't stir near enough for the things of God. My heart doesn't burn near enough for the Word of God. My mind doesn't strain near enough to tell people about God. But it should. But it should. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. It could be right now. Oh, would to God. And when he comes to get us, Oh, what a wonderful dinner that's going to be. Your hearts are going to stir then. Let's stir them now, Christian. Let's stir our hearts now. What stirs you? Is it your dirty rock music? Does that stir you? Huh? Is it your stupid computer? Does that stir you? Is it your alcohol? Is it your smoking? Does that stir you? How about stirring your mind towards the things of God? How about stirring your heart to the things of God? How about that? Because He's coming. He is definitely coming. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach. Even so, Lord, come quickly. You have an appointed time, Lord, and that's never going to change. And Lord, I'm glad we don't know when You're coming. But I'm glad we do know that You're coming. Lord, help us as Christians to want to keep You on our mind more, to stir about You, to have our heart burn about You, to have our thoughts on You. Lord, please help us tonight. Help us tonight to seek Your word and to seek You out, because the Bible says that You're a rewarder of them that diligently seek You. So Lord, help us to do that and have our hearts stir. I would to God that our hearts would stir 10 times more than a football game we watched this weekend. I would to God our hearts would stir much more than a world championship for our team. I would to God our hearts would stir more than for a nice car or more than for a big paycheck. I would to God our hearts would stir more than all those things towards You. Because You're coming. Our time is drawing short. I believe You could come right now. I don't think that there's a sign that needs to come that's prohibiting You from coming. Lord, help us. Help us to get stirred about Your work. Lord, I am thankful already for the work that Bethel Baptist Church is doing towards winning souls. I'm so happy to be part of a work that is winning people to Christ weekly, that is seeing people get baptized often. Lord, I'm glad that our people's hearts are stirred. This is more preventative medicine, but Lord, this is preventative medicine for me. I need my heart stirred. Oh, God, help me. Help me to have a stirred heart. Lord, help my eyes to become damp again over the lost, realizing that they are not going. They do not have You to look forward to. Lord, help me. Help me to look for people to introduce to You. Oh, God, help me to have a stirred heart. Help the things that stir me be things of You. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know that I know that I know 100% sure that if I died right now that I would go to heaven. I know that. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? I see them all over the room, but I did notice that not everybody could raise their hand. Could you put them down for me? If you don't know that you're going to heaven, the Bible says you can know. K-N-O-W, know. No doubt. If you don't know, I worry for you. My heart stirs for you because I worry that you don't know Christ and you don't have tomorrow to boast of. So how many would be honest with me and with the Lord? It's not me that you need to be honest with. It's the Lord you need to be honest with. Say, you know what, Brother Dave, I don't know for sure if I would die right now, I would go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. You have my word on that, but I sure would like to know because I want to pray for you. Can you put your hand up real big and tall? Is there anyone like that in the room tonight? Anybody? Anybody? That means I am talking to Christians. Christians, when's the last time your heart stirred over the lost? When's the last time your heart stirred over the promise of His coming? When's the last time that your heart stirred over the fact that your future is secure? When is the last time your heart stirred that no man shall be able to pluck you out of my Father's hand? When's the last time you stirred? When's the last time your heart burned when you read His word? When's the last time? I know I'm going to deal with the Lord tonight. I'm going to beg Him to stir my heart. because I need to be about his business, because there's lives that need a stirred heart. There's lives that need a stirred compassion, and nobody else has it. Nobody else has that compassion, Christian. That comes from God. He's going to have to work through you. Please let him do it. Let him work through you tonight. Dear Lord, I'm begging you tonight, have your will and way in this invitation. I'm going to turn it over to my beloved pastor. I'm so thankful. Oh God, thank you for letting him be here with us today. We need him. He is our man of God. But Lord, I want him to be healthy. So Lord, please get him the rest that he needs. Don't let him try to come back here too quickly. Oh God, I'm begging you to get him healthy, because we need him. He is our man. He's your man for us. Lord, let our hearts stir. Let our hearts stir to pray for our pastor. Let our hearts stir to pray for Bethel. Lord, please, just let us get the attitude of being stirred for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, would you come, please? Time you.